This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Welcome to the Domestic Abuse Breakthrough Show, where we tackle violence against women and girls through education, empowerment, and hope. Join Kate, a survivor and advocate, as she shares insights, strategies, and stories that inspire healing and action. Together, we'll break the cycle and pave the way for a future of safety and strength. This show contains a trigger warning. And now, here's your host, Kate Beasley.
So welcome back to another episode. And today I'm joined by Laura Guy. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. So would you like to introduce yourself and just tell everybody, Laura is a survivor. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about you and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So I am Laura Guy, obviously. I am an energy alignment coach and human design expert. So I was a victim of child sexual abuse. My father was a convicted paedophile as well. So I've kind of gone through both kind of spectrums of the victimhood. So a few years ago, took to social media to actually spread such a beautiful message of how your past doesn't have to define you and how you can create a completely different trajectory for your life, regardless of whatever you've been through. You don't always have to be a victim. You can take that pain, you can turn it into power, and you can create a completely different life for yourself. Everything that you have, everything that you've been through, is that can be used to really propel you forward into a brighter future. So you don't always have to kind of stay in that moment where everything's got to be tough, everything's got to be a struggle, these things aren't meant for me. When you commit to doing the work on yourself and unpacking your trauma, unpacking the things that you've been through in your lifetime, then you really can move forward in such a beautiful, positive way. And that's exactly what I've done with my life. So I've come to share today with you some of the things that I've actually been through, some of the things that I've overcome, and then some of the benefits and some of the beautiful kind of changes that I've had within my lifetime.
Yeah, and that is it. That's everything that I try in. You know, as I said to you before we started recording, this show is very much about that. It's about, you know, it is about empowering you to be able to, you know, advocate for yourself. And we can only do that by being real. Unfortunately, we can't quote anything. But at the same time, this is about giving you your power back. You know, you are not what's happened to you. You are not your experiences. It's a part of your journey, and actually you've got to take stories that you hear on, you know, from my guests, and decide which one resonates with you most and which one's going to give you that little seed of hope. And all of them may give you little seeds of inspiration, and it's building upon those to give you enough to move yourself forward. But ultimately only we can do that for ourselves. But you know, you've been the same. You'll have seen something that have given you that inspiration to move you forward and start to sort of delve deeper under the layers of your past and unpack it all. Because that's how we're all the same. We all do take the same process.
Yeah. And it's never a linear journey either, is it? It's like there's so many twists and turns. Like I remember when I first started in business in 2018, I started network marketing and I had never heard of personal development. Like I had literally sleptwalked through my life from kind of just after leaving school, I'd entered into a dead-end job and I kind of continued that dead-end job for about 17 years and I kind of had kids in between. But throughout that, I was basically just completely just kind of self-medicating, but just kind of pushing those emotions down and just ignoring them and just trying to give myself distractions to step away from that and to not have to address the way that I was feeling. And there were so many different things that actually showed up throughout my relationship, throughout my relationship with my husband, my mum, friends. And I always felt like I was wearing a mask. I always had to put a mask on, and that this mask couldn't slip, because if it did, people would know. People would know that I am a bad person and that I should be ashamed, and that all of the things that I've been through really do define me. Which, after stepping into like business, self-development, all of that kind of thing, I started to realize that everything that goes on within our subconscious mind is a protection mechanism, but at the same time, it gives us so many different clues as to what needs healing. So one quote that I heard a few years ago, and it stuck with me so much, is that a trigger is an invitation to deeper healing. So when you start to become aware and you create that awareness in your normal day-to-day life, you can start to recognize, like, right, I'm feeling a little bit triggered right now. Like, there's some heavy emotions coming up. What's going on? And it gives you that opportunity to be able to step away from whatever's going on in that moment and to be able to really step back and become the observer and look at the whole situation and think, right, okay, so what emotion is coming up right now? What is this linked to? What needs healing right now? And it just gives you that opportunity to be able to kind of peel back those layers and get back to that kind of area of wholeness. So it really is a beautiful thing, a healing journey, but it's got so many different highs and lows. There's so many different kind of moments where you're just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Enough is enough. But when you truly commit to yourself and you start to recognize that the things you've heard as you've been growing up, the beliefs that you've adopted about yourself, there's probably 90% of those that have come from other people. They aren't opinions, they aren't beliefs that have been created by you. They are beliefs and opinions based on the things that you've heard from the people that you've been surrounded by. So when you get rid and you press the delete button on all of those things, and you think, right, okay, so I want to build a beautiful opinion of myself. I want to honor myself and I want to see just how magical I am. Then that's when you get to start moving forward, creating the identity that you want to embody, rather than the one that's been created through circumstance, through other people's opinions, and through all the different things that you've been through.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I always say to people that you've got a negative thought about yourself. Ask yourself, are they your thoughts? Are they your views? Or is that somebody else's voice
Yeah,
that you're
absolutely.
playing on repeat? And fundamentally, it will be somebody else's. I mean, it's the same as if somebody says, oh, well, I want to be a lawyer because everybody in the family have been lawyers. Do you want to be a lawyer, or is that somebody else's thoughts and opinions being pushed upon you and you're taking them on as your own wants and desires and aspirations?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same for everything, and people, if children are racist, well, that's usually come from thoughts and opinions of people that they're around. It's their actual thoughts. They end up taking them on. But if you ask them when they're younger, is that what you really think? And quite often it's not. It's somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's words.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you take accountability for what you actually kind of take accountability for what you consume for a start, but taking accountability for what you collect, like your thoughts literally start just as a thought. So if you hear something and then you have that thought, if you attach to that and you allow that to ruminate and you allow that to then create a belief, that's when it's going to start creating subconscious patterns. And I think with that is something that I did throughout my life. Like I was told when I think I was 13, I was in secondary school, and I was told by my teacher that I was going to be a dead end girl. I was never going to amount to anything, and I was going to work in the co-op stacking shelves for the rest of my life. Now that led to me collecting that and kind of putting it in my little thought trophy cabinet, and just every single move that I made from there was me telling myself that I'm not worthy of more, that I'm not worthy of better, that I don't deserve better. And then those thoughts then start to create the programs and the behaviors that are going to live up to that, because we all want that self-fulfilling prophecy. We all want that belief. We don't want to admit that our ego is completely full of bullshit sometimes.
Well,
And
that's it. The brain doesn't like to be wrong. It
no,
doesn't like to be
exactly.
wrong. So actually, it's going to create behaviors to ensure that it is right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but when I started picking that apart, that was an absolute game changer for me. And I started to really dive into the kinds of things that I thought about myself. And yeah, we've all got surface level kind of thoughts and patterns and behaviors and beliefs. But when you start to really go deep, like most of the ones that I have actually come across from people that I have worked with, whether they've come from backgrounds of abuse and things like that, or whether they've been like women that have just, they've never kind of felt seen. Like the underlying belief usually is, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. And the more you start to believe that, and the more layers that are stacked on top of that, the harder it can become to actually be able to strip all of that back and say, do you know what? I was born worthy. I am worthy. I am inherently worthy. I deserve the world. I deserve everything that's going to come to me. And this is exactly why I'm so passionate about why I do what I do and why it's so important to me. With the energy work that I do, the human design work that I do, because it's all about individuality and we are all individual human beings. We're not here to be conditioned and molded into what society deems is necessary for what our life should look like.
I mean, if we look at how a perpetrator uses this, everything we've just spoken about there, as a manipulation tool, remember the brain does not like to be, we don't, the brain doesn't like to be told it's wrong. So actually a perpetrator, and I was actually talking to somebody about this, she's like, oh my God, you're right. And it is, they do it so subtly. If a perpetrator is wants to regain your trust and have you drop your guard again because they're fearful of losing control, the more educated ones are very capable of telling you, and I've explained this experience this many times. When you're challenging them and confronting them about something, you're right. They won't tell you're wrong, they will agree with you. Because by agreeing with you, he's sending a message of reassurance to your brain and your nervous system.
So that your nervous system can settle and you can calm.
Whereas if they were to be all defensive and go in for attack and say, no, you're wrong, that's going to keep our guard up as well. Whereas what they want is they want the guard to drop so we're easier to mold and shape again and regain that control. So they tell you're right. And that's how the brain operates. But you see, we need to tell ourselves we are right. That's what you as the one that's been subjected to the abuse needs to do, as opposed to keep replaying that tape of that negative loop cycle of no, you're not worthy, no, you're not good enough, no, you are a failure, you're this, you're that. You need to break that negative loop cycle yourself. It's very
So,
tools to be able to do that. That's what you need.
yeah, and I think one of the most one thing that's come to my attention the most, and especially as a mum of a teenage daughter, I've got a 13-year-old daughter. She's 14 in March. She's absolutely beautiful, and she lights up our world. But one thing that I have noticed throughout teenagers, throughout kids, throughout women, like the lack of self-esteem really opened you up to so many different dangers. And I think taking responsibility for your own self-esteem and kind of self-soothing in a way where you're constantly kind of telling yourself, like, I'm worthy, I'm perfect, I'm amazing, I'm this, I'm that, and doing that work on yourself to really be able to build that self-esteem. Not only does it open you up to attract so many beautiful things in life, but it also makes you stronger and it makes you more aware of if any dangers come forward, like you know you're worthy. So you can feel other people's energy. You can feel that that person isn't quite what they're making out to be. So you don't have to be trusting of that person. And it just gives you more of a standpoint to be able to protect yourself.
I mean, obviously, a lot of people will stand in the mirror and do affirmations. I am this, and I am that. Now, the problem with that is the brain,
You don't believe
the
it.
brain will not believe you. The brain will, but the amygdala will be like, "You don't be, you are lying. You're not. That's not true."
Yeah, absolutely. See, one thing that I think is really powerful, and it's one thing that I get some of my clients to do, it's asking yourself, standing in the mirror and asking yourself, what if I was worthy?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Exactly it.
So.
It's opening up open it up to possibility with the brain. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You are negotiating and reasoning with your own brain. So it's like, well, what if I was? Or what if I could do this? How would that? Because remember, the brain just wants to keep you safe. The brain's not
Yeah.
there to make your life miserable, although it does feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's actually trying to do a good job. It just goes about it the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, how would that improve my life? And then go through the reason, the ways it would improve your life.
Yeah.
Visualize those ways it would improve your life. So you're getting that part of the brain on board with the possibility that, okay, well, maybe I could change my way of thinking. And then once it's on board with the what if, then change the next thing to, I can do it.
Yeah.
Because you may be like, well, yeah, it would, yeah, okay. Well, what if is possible, but I can't do it. It's too hard. There's too many obstacles in front of me. Then you
Yeah.
get on board with the I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
And I
you
think
start planning out in baby steps as to how you could possibly make that change happen. And
yeah.
then once it's on board with that, I will do it. I will do it. And then really dedicate yourself to your plan.
Yeah,
About baby
absolutely. And it's never too late. Like every single moment that passes, like every moment is the opportunity to choose a better way, to choose a better life, and to decide that you are gonna make the rest of your life more magical than you could have ever imagined. So making that choice is really, really important. And when you combine those kinds of like techniques with the what if method and with the right, okay, I'm going to start with the affirmations now. Like I find affirmations are so personal. And like I was having a conversation with a client the other day about affirmations, and she said like creating your own affirmation, like you can see them wrote all over the internet. You can see all these positive posts come up and stuff on social media. But actually asking yourself, like, what do I need right now? If I was standing face to face with a friend, what would I need them to tell me right now? And then creating an affirmation as if you're your own best friend, so that you can then start repeating that to yourself, because that's come from the heart, it's come from within. So it makes it so much more powerful.
100%. And it's and daydreaming as well. You need to, because the brain doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So
Yeah.
daydream, get really, really specific about what you want for your future,
Yeah.
and imagine walking that life.
Yeah.
Really get that part of the brain on board with the possibility. Well, what if we could have that life? What if?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no
How
dream is too
amazing
big.
would that be?
Yeah.
How amazing would your life be?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I like to do as well is and doing it for yourself can be a little bit difficult, but you could maybe get somebody else to write it for you. I actually have a template where that people can they can use and
Yeah.
put in their all the best qualities. I mean, I did an exercise on Facebook where I said, to what are three words you'd use to describe me, and you can use those words that people use to describe you and know
Yeah.
and see you for, and throw it use like a template like what I've got, for example, and throw in those words that people are using to describe you and say, right, can you now do me a personalized letter to myself that I can
Yeah.
then read to myself, and even audio record that letter and
Yeah.
listen to it, so you are feeding that into that positive nurturing words
Yeah.
to that part of the brain. So you are interrupting that negative loop cycle. It's such a powerful exercise.
Yeah, there's so many in there. Like I've got a membership, and inside my membership over the ne well, we started last week, but we're doing like manifestation month, and some of the techniques, because I know firsthand like what having kind of trauma in your body and stuff, how that can affect how you kind of welcome things and you receive things. So really kind of expanding that container to receiving, opening your energy up so that you can welcome new things in. That's what we're doing this month, and we've been doing things like emotional freedom technique tapping. We've been doing like guided visualizations. We've been doing meditations, like things like that. But I think sometimes people see these things as very woo woo, don't they? And they're like, oh God, it's so woo woo. But I think when you actually look and you see, like, if you're somebody that needs the scientific kind of evidence to support these kinds of things, there's so much out there that these methods are tried and tested, and they really do help. Because I think EFT has been a massive savior of mine. And it's one of those things where you can start to pinpoint as you're tapping where that trauma is being held in your body. And then what you need to do to be able to release it, you get the emotional releases as you go, but then how you can kind of flip that on its head, turn it into the affirmations that are necessary to just reinforce that in your mind and create those new belief systems.
So we're just going to break for a short interval and we'll see you after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. So should we just go into a bit about your what were your experiences? What, you know, because obviously you did mention a little bit about it, but just want to share a little bit more about what your personal experiences were growing up and
So I was like, I grew up in Leeds, and at first, like, I had the perfectly stable family as far as I was aware, and everything was okay. And then when I think I was either 8 or 9 years old, things just kind of came to a bit of a halt when my dad was arrested because he'd sexually assaulted some young girls. So he got taken away, and as the whole process kind of went on, I ended up having to go and be examined at hospitals and have all of the different kind of tests and stuff, and they discovered that I'd been abused too. So after kind of going back and kind of discovering, it was my step granddad that ha actually abused me when I was about 4 or 5 years old. So
Do you remember this?
no.
No, right.
No. So that was the worst part. I mean, I've kind of come to terms with it now and the fact that it happened, but I was like, no, he's not done anything to me. So they were kind of dead certain that my dad had done stuff to me, and I was like, it hasn't. So I was adamant, and like, he'd been kind of taken away from me. My family were gunning against him, and it was a terrifying time because he was my dad, and he was kind of like the apple of my eye, and I didn't really expect any of that. There was a bit of a rocky time between him and my mum, where he'd kicked her out. And like, I know when I was really little, like, we were in a women's hostel, so things obviously weren't in my, like, as they've been placed in my head and my kind of memories, there's a lot of things that do kind of seem to like go missing, and there's a lot of different puzzle pieces that I still haven't quite discovered yet. But after my dad had been taken away, and there was he went to prison, like, we ended up with a new stepdad, and this new stepdad was, oh, it was at first, I welcomed this male character, and I was like, oh, amazing, I've got a new dad. And it was like, I was like, I think I was about 11 years old, maybe 10, 11 years old, and I welcomed him with both arms. And it was just quite a difficult time because after a year or so, after he'd settled and everything had kind of come to settle down, they'd got married, I was suddenly like getting slippered for things that I'd done, and I was being called a selfish little bitch. And I was like having loads of different things kind of piled on top of me. And I suffered quite a lot of mental and emotional abuse, as well as the punishments. Like, I remember when I was I'd gone out, and I used to have accidents and stuff all the time. And my stepdad had said after we'd come back from this event, I'd had an accident, and one of my best friends, he'd come to call for me, and he's like, "Oh no, she's not coming out because she's a dirty little bitch and she's peed herself." And it was like I was absolutely obviously mortified at this point, but just all of those things kind of compacted, and we ended up moving when I was 13, because I was from 11 self-medicating with alcohol. I was taken to the hospital when I was 11 years old to have my stomach pumped because I drank a liter of vodka while I was with all my friends. I got carried away by in an ambulance from the skate park and nearly choked on my own vomit. So that didn't stop me there. I just kept going back, and it was always the heavy stuff. It was like Jack Daniels. It was like Southern Comfort, vodka, just anything that I could get my hands on that just helped me kind of numb and just get to a level where I could just relax. So my mum started getting worried. I was smoking cannabis. I was drinking heavily, and they decided that we were going to move, and we were going to move to North Yorkshire near the sea, and we were just going to go live there. So I was like upped and taken away from everything I knew at the age of 13, and I had to go and integrate into a brand new school full of people that I didn't have a clue who they were. And then we moved here, so the drinking didn't stop. I continued to drink. I just found new people to drink with. And my teenage years were rocky. So I was always having new boyfriends. I was always like running away. My mum would ground me. I'd climb out of the window. And I was just a really, really kind of disturbing teenager in a lot of ways. I was probably one of them where people would look at me and they would think, "Oh my God, like what an absolute nightmare she is. Her mum must be going through so much." But at the time, like I've had so many different instances since where I've done like timeline therapy where I've kind of gone back to my teenage self and what did I need at that time? And it's like my mum was already suffering. She was suffering her own traumas. She was suffering with everything that she dealt with. So I didn't feel like I actually had like anybody that I could communicate. I was always the black sheep in the family. I was always the one that's, "Oh God, don't bring her here. She's a nightmare. Oh, she's so rebellious. She can never do as she's told. Oh, she's so naughty." So all of these different kind of beliefs that were packed into my subconscious that I wore like badges of honor, and I was like, "Well, yeah, maybe I am. Okay, absolutely fine." So I was an absolute tearaway. And then when I got to see, I didn't do year 11 in school. I decided I'd gone to the doctors. I put on some waterworks and I said, "I don't want to go back. Can you give me a doctor's note?" So I flunked out of school, completely left school. And then I found my husband when I was 16, and suddenly things started to make sense, and suddenly things started to calm down. And it's like the drinking kind of continued for a little bit because we were like drinking buddies, and we went out and we were typical teenagers. But after that, like we started to settle, and it was just suddenly I'd kind of recognized that it's okay, like I'm safe. And I think that was one of the biggest moments of my life where I actually recognized that not all men have to be mistrusted. Like, you don't have to try and bend and shape yourself into what you think they want for them to accept you.
So what
And
was it that made you feel safe?
I don't know. It was just, and I still to this day, I just think it was the energy. I feel like it was the energy, and I just had this deep feeling that I'm safe. Like it's okay. I'm safe. And I mean, it makes me want to cry now. But I remember like the first night when I'd actually told my now husband that I loved him, and I'd laid there, and I had such anxiety, and I said it, and I was laid there, and I was like, "Oh my God, he's not going to say it back. Oh my God. Oh my God, I've made a total fool out of myself." And he said it back, and every single cell of my body just relaxed. And I genuinely felt like I'd had such a shift just hearing those three words and actually feeling the meaning behind them and recognizing that it wasn't said because he wants to get me into bed. It wasn't said because of any other reason, but because that's how he felt. And that was like I have been a massive cycle breaker in my family because my family have really struggled with relationships, and there's not many families within my family that are actually kind of like the nuclear family where they've got that stable parent unit, and the kids are supported, and they all kind of live under the same roof. And like I genuinely feel like my husband was put here to help me heal. and that he's kind of followed me throughout lifetimes to get to the point where we can genuinely just relax and we can just know that I'm safe. Like, I just feel so safe and I just feel seen and I just feel appreciated and loved. And I, throughout my teenage years, never thought that to be possible for me. Like, for everything that I watched throughout my teenage years from different men coming home all the time, like with my mum, from men that she went in relationships with that tried to control her, that mentally and emotionally abused her and us, like, I never, ever, ever thought that to be possible. So it's just, that is one of my biggest success stories, because I think breaking that cycle within my family, I get to show my kids that this is normal, this is what normal looks like, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to go through all of these different things. Like, we can build this family and we can strengthen each other and we can rely on each other. And one thing that I've kind of gone throughout, like, my parent years, especially with my daughter since she's become a teenager, is the power of speech, the power of being able to truly speak up and offload. And if something's bothering you, regardless of how somebody else might react, get it off your chest, get it out of your system. Things are never as bad as what we play out, like, play them out to be in our heads. So.
And it goes, but that just highlights everything that I have been saying in regards to why we have this problem that we have, in terms of we're seeing more and more youth offending. And the only way that we address this is by educating our younger generation and by understanding what these undesirable coping mechanisms are soothing. What are they soothing? What is the root cause here? And that's not an invitation or a suggestion for me that I'm saying, well, excuse the bad behavior. That's absolutely not what I stand for.
No, but you've got to address it
But
and see where it's coming
you've
from.
got to identify what the root cause is. Why are they acting up? Why are they behaving so aggressively, so violently, so abusively? But we, at the same time, we have to teach them, actually, well, that behavior is not acceptable. We can't go through life behaving that way and there not be consequences. There are consequences in life, unfortunately, and you can't soothe your own wounds by hurting other people.
No.
So it's a fine balance, and trust me, it's difficult, I know. But it's a balance we have to find between making them feel held, making them feel safe and secure, so that these undesirable parts don't show up. But when these undesirable parts show up, they still have awareness of what they're doing. They know certain behaviors gain a certain result. And the more this is reinforced, the more they're going to do it. But that's why we have to let them know that actually that behavior is not acceptable. So it is finding that balance. But your story is a prime example of you did not feel safe. And you were told you were so bad and terrible, and you're like, okay.
But I think at that time, like, I was literally like, I just, one of the things that I probably wanted the most was someone just to hug me and say, it's okay. It's okay. It's not your fault. And I think hearing those words are not spoken enough to victims. It's not your fault. Like, so many people need to hear those words and to feel those words and recognize that. Just because somebody has picked you to commit such a heinous thing doesn't mean anything about you at all. And I think with, like, hurt people hurt people. So there's always going to be hitting out. There's always going to be certain things that show up in tr people that are trauma packed, that have got so many different things that have been undealt with. But you need to have that safe space, that safe someone where you can open up and you can just get things off your chest and know that there's going to be no judgment. There's going to be no trying to fix things. Sometimes people just need someone to sit in the mud with them and not say a word, but to just sit and just listen.
Absolutely. So we're just going to break for another short interval and we'll see you after the break.
UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. So before we cut for the break, obviously you made a very true comment of, you know, it is hurt people hurt people. And, you know, that is so true. And this is something, and this isn't a dig at anybody. Listen, I've been, and Laura's been, we've both been where you are potentially now. Yeah. So this isn't a dig at anybody. But unfortunately, when a victim is very feeling unheard, feeling dismissed, feeling not believed, and the experiences are completely being minimized, that can raise, trigger a lot of anger and a lot of resentment within us. Unfortunately, when this isn't controlled, this can present you in a negative light. And if it's something I see an awful lot, certainly on social media, is highly emotionally charged outbursts that are very aggressive, throwing around name calling and slanderous comments. And remember, you are this is the whole nature of a reactive response, otherwise known as reactive abuse. You end up saying things that ordinarily you may not say. But unfortunately, once you've said it, you've said it. You can't take it back. And this is why it is absolutely vital that you take our advice and you dedicate and commit to your healing and giving yourself that self-love, that self-reassurance. Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Right. So long as you're safe, your safety is the number one priority. The police don't believe you. The only person that matters is your thoughts. That's it. And the people that care about you. And even if they don't believe you. Well, in that case, if they don't believe you, they're not meant to be in your circle. That's it. But what matters is what you reaffirm to yourself. That's what matters. Yes. So if they're making you feel like the problem, it is a problem if you then believe them, if you then reaffirm that you are the problem. Or maybe I am. No. You need to recognize yourself that, yeah, what's happened to me is wrong. It should never have happened. And, you know, in some cases, you know, like obviously like in Laura's mum's case, you know, she had her own wounds. You know, nothing she did was malicious, but she had her own wounds. But obviously that had a direct impact on Laura and her development and her emotional, you know, resilience and everything. So it's recognizing that actually maybe it's not obviously the same. Perpetrators are also wounded people, but obviously they're doing it very consciously. Whereas if somebody is a victim and you've got that emotional disconnect, it's not because they don't love you. It's because they operate from survival.
Yeah.
But it's just having that awareness and then giving yourself what you have been lacking as a child. And that's ultimately what Laura has done moving forward. You know, that's how she's pulled herself, you know, she's turned her pain and her experiences into a purpose now, which she now guides other women. I assume it's mainly women.
Yeah,
it is it. Yeah. to do the same.
Yeah.
You know? And that's it. You know, we just need that little guidance, you know, sometimes from the right person. I mean, look, even us as professionals, we need our own therapy and guidance, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, we can do us to a certain extent in the maintenance stuff ourselves, but to some degree, we always still need some input from other professionals.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do, and I say that, we always call upon each other to for that help. That's something we all do as professionals. So it's no, there's no
Yeah.
shame in this.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
think talking as well, talking is like one of the best things. Again, over the past year and a half, like we've faced something that we never ever thought we would face in the past like year and a half. And me and my husband, like on a night, we'll go for drives. Like we'll literally just drive around, go see the sheep, go see the beautiful scenery, and just talk and just offload and just communicate. But that communication is like, and that connection are like the most important things that you can use. They're your best tools. So if you've got somebody that will lend a shoulder for you to cry on, or that will lend an ear to just listen, just know how important it is to get things out of your system. Like journaling, writing things down. Like I wrote God knows how many different letters to like people that I kind of held negativity towards that brought up bad feelings within my body. And I wrote letters to these people, offloaded everything that I would have wanted to say to them. And then at the end, I forgave them. And I just said, I forgive you. I release this, not for you, but for me. Because forgiveness is the highest level of self-care. Like if you can forgive somebody, they don't know you've forgiven them. They don't know that you have suddenly completely changed how you feel about them. They just know that they've done what they've done and they've got to live with that for the rest of their lives. But you forgiving them is an act of self-care to yourself because you're letting go of them emotions.
But forgiving them is not forgetting,
Yeah, definitely
thinking
forgive, but
about
never
them.
forget.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you can't ever forget because they can't, unless you can't, does that's not a reason to take them back or
No,
things like
absolutely
that. It
not.
is purely simply so you can move on.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, a lot of it is also forgiving yourself as well for because there's a lot of self-blame, for well, why was that? Why couldn't I see it? And it's forgiving yourself as well.
Yeah.
And again, with those letters, that brain dumping exercise is a really good clearing. But it's really important to do that and dispose of that letter. What you don't want to be doing is
Yeah,
reading
burn it. That's what I
that
was going to say.
letter
Burn it
because you're going
afterwards.
to ruminate on it, and then you're going to re-triggering the amygdala off again.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't
No,
need to
you
do.
burning it is that final kind of signal of resolution to your subconscious that I'm ready to let this go. I'm ready to just put this behind me. So, and it is a really part of, I've used that with so many different clients when there's people that have hurt them in their lifetimes, not necessarily from abuse, but just anything. Sometimes something as little as a coworker kind of having a few little digs while you're at work can sit within your system, but all of those emotions that sit in your system are causing, like they're causing damage to you. So getting those things out and kind of clearing your energetic space is really, really important.
And then the other important thing to do is once you've done that, go straight into a distraction.
Yeah.
You need to distract away from what you've just focused on.
Yeah. Do something healing. Go for a walk out in nature. Put some music on.
Music on,
Something
uplifting
that's
music
gonna,
on.
yeah.
Distract. You need to distract the amygdala away from the issue, so it
Yeah.
doesn't keep ruminating on that negative loop. But yeah, all these things, these are all things that we can do ourselves. And just another caveat, we don't want any fires. If it's not safe to burn,
Yeah.
pick it up. Rip it
Yeah, well, I won't say it
off
on here because I don't know if
in
I'm
a
allowed to
million
swear on
pieces.
here, but yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on here, so I won't say it on here. But I've actually, like, among my whole community, like, I've got a catchphrase that I say when it comes to the letters, and I'm like, you write a letter and you burn the effer. And I'm like, and I'll say, and just as a disclaimer, I do mean the letter and not the person. So it always kind of gets a laugh out of them, but I'm like, I'm serious. Like, I'm putting that out there because I am responsible.
It is just literally a case of getting rid of it, rip it up
Yeah.
into a million pieces and just get shot of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The idea is just that you can't keep ruminating on it.
Yeah. Things are so much simpler as well when they're not stuck inside our heads. When you actually get things out and put things down on paper, like if your mind's constantly active and you feel like you're an overthinker, like getting things down on paper helps you to make so much more sense of it.
And like what we said earlier on about the letter, to yourself, to your younger self, do your brain dump, get rid of it, and then read that. Read it. So you're feeding back in some positive.
See, I did a beautiful meditation and it was going back to like my younger self and going, and I went and kind of met her on a bridge and just kind of filled her in on how life had changed. And I honestly sobbed my heart out because I was just like, everything that you think is going to happen isn't going to happen. It's going to work out better than you could have ever imagined. And we've got this and this happened and this happened. And it is just such a beautiful experience.
Yeah, I've done lots of things like that in therapy sessions as well. They are really powerful. Inner child work. Right, well, thank you, darling. It's been really lovely having you on.
Thanks for having me.
And we shall see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of this vital conversation. If you feel inspired to take action and support women, girls, and children affected by abuse, please visit the show notes in Kate's bio on UK Health Radio. There, you can register your interest in becoming a certified trauma-informed expert, specialising in topics that address this ever-growing crisis. Together, we can shape a safer future for those who need it most. Until next time, stay strong, stay informed, and remember, you are never alone.